Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful sunny day. On this Mission Sunday, we are delighted to welcome Erica Holt from Wickham Youth for Christ. I've actually known Erica for 22 years. I went to her inauguration into Wickham Youth for Christ 22 years ago. So there we go. Thank you, Louise. May God bless Erica in all her dedicated work to bring our young people to Wickham closer to the Lord, the love of our Lord Jesus. And I just welcome Erica now. So over to you, Erica.
Thank you very much. Ooh. I've got more grey hairs than when I started. I haven't quite got all the energy that I used to. But I'll go off script for a minute because that's what I do. I'm a northerner, so I can talk for England, and I'm known for chatting. But it's really funny, the plans that God has and what we think God will do. And I was sharing that earlier on because we can think that we know the plan that God has for us, and we know what that, you know, we have this idea as to what God will do in our lives and through what he said. And I do think God has a sense of humour. He likes to keep us on our toes. And so when I started at Wickham Youth for Christ, I felt God had called me out of paid employment just over 12 months previously. I'd started as a volunteer at my church for just 12 months doing a gap year. I was an old gap year student. I wasn't 18, I was a little bit older. And so I'd done a year at my church and somehow fallen into this volunteer year at Wickham Youth for Christ. I don't really know how it happened, but it did. And I prayed when I was just turning 21, so before I'd volunteered and before I were doing these gap years, and I'd prayed to God. I was in a sales office selling to people on the phone. It wasn't cold calling, they would call us. And I remember I was about to turn 21 and I just had this sense of going, God, am I really going to do this until I retire? And at 21, it feels a long time away. And so I kind of said this slightly flippant prayer, but there was a deep down sort of sense of meaning and purpose and honesty about it. It was one of those really gritty prayers. It was just like, God, surely there's got to be more to life than this. And if there is, I want it. And nothing happened for a few years. And then about 2-3 years later, God gave me the option of doing this year at my church. And one of the things that I'd always wanted in work was a job where I could really get my teeth into. I could really develop. And I could grow, and it would be a long-term role. I wanted something really purposeful. And when God called me out of work, I had the option. I could stay in work, and I'd said to them when I'd started, you know, I wanted to really delve into the job. I wanted the responsibility. I wanted to grow. And I had a choice to stay there and do it through that role or leave it, give it all up, and do this volunteer year at my church. It was an option, but there was a sense of it wasn't an option. So I left work, did this gap year at church. It fell into a gap year at Wickham Youth for Christ. And 22 years later, I'm still here at Wickham Youth for Christ. It wasn't just a year. And I look back now, and I've been looking back over the last year or so at the journey that God's taken me on. And if I think back to 25 years ago when I said that prayer, when I was asking God, I want more to life than this. I want a job where there's longevity in it, there's meaning, there's purpose, there's growth, there's development. I look back at my life through Wickham Youth for Christ and go, God, I just realise you've given me that. Those prayers that I said, I've had to wait a long time, but boy, they've been answered. And God is faithful. It's not the journey I thought my life would go on, but I wouldn't change it for the world because I know God's in it. And whatever journey you've been on and whatever journey you are on, I pray that God works in and through you and that as you look back, you see God's hand on your life, God's hand doing amazing things in you and through you. And on that note, let's start by fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And I want to read the words and the first eight verses from Psalm 63, which is just a wonderful moment to fix our eyes on Jesus. So as we do this, feel free, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to bow your heads, if you just want to sit and just hear the words that we read in Psalm 63. And it says this: "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me." So, Father, as we come to you this morning, may our words of praise, our songs, our hymns be like incense to you. May we lift you up and praise your name. And as we do, will you draw close to us? Draw close to us, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. May we experience you this morning, Lord Jesus. And in your name we ask it. Amen. And on that note, we are going to sing our first hymn. I love this one, if it helps. It is number 1072, "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found."
So you please take a seat? I find that's one of those hymns that you just want to go with gusto. Beautiful words as well. We're going to take time this morning just to pray. And in doing that, it's just to come before Jesus this morning in prayer. So what we're going to do is we're just going to take a moment of silence just to still our hearts. And then I'm going to pray, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together afterwards. So let's just be still for a moment. God, we thank you that we can come together this morning and that we can be in your presence, that we can sing of your praises, and that we can encounter you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came so that we can freely come back to you. And we thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon us, the blessings that we see in our lives. And as we consider these things, we remember those whose lives are in chaos, whose lives are challenging. God, we pray for those whose countries are in turmoil at the moment, Lord, where there is no peace. And Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would place people to bring peace, to seek peace where there currently is none. God, we pray that you will continue to be at work in and through your church and your people. May your church rise up and be a place of safety and support for the communities that they serve. Lord, may your church be a place where your love and your light shine strongly and brightly. And may each one of us shine brightly for you. Come and be here this morning. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. May we encounter you through your Spirit. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn this morning, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Lord, my shepherd, I
I'm just really struck by the words of those hymns, and particularly that one about trusting in God. The words can feel so easy to say, and yet the reality of sometimes what it means to trust God can be a real challenge. And certainly at Wickham Youth for Christ, we go through the trusting in God a lot. And before I go into some of what we do as a ministry, some of the developments that have happened even in the last few days, can I just say, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for those that have prayed and have supported the ministry. We see ourselves as part of the church. We're not separate to it. We don't work apart from the church. Our mission, our heart is the same, is to seek God and to share God with others, and particularly for us with children and young people. And so on behalf of the team and the trustees, thank you. Thank you. We can't do it alone. And I can honestly say it's a privilege to be part of the church here in Haslemere and in Wickham and in the wider area. Just to give you an update as to things that have been happening for us at the moment. Can I say it's been a very strange year? It's been a very strange couple of years, if I'm honest. We as a ministry have had a number of words, prophetic words from God over the last 3, 4, 5 years, all of them seeking and sharing this picture that God is going to do a new thing. God is going to change things. And certainly I was sharing at the beginning that I then had an idea as to what God might do. And God clearly hasn't done what I thought he would do. He's done what God wants to do. But what we've found as a ministry up until a couple of years ago is that we had a really stable team. We'd been in a position where the team had been together, or some of the team had been together for over a decade. And certainly in children's and youth ministry, that's really unusual. People don't stay in ministry roles for that length of time. And we'd got to the point where that just felt normal. And so when things started to change and when team members moved on, it felt unusual. But actually what we were experiencing in most places is actually really normal. It just, for us at that time, was a little bit unusual. but we're really delighted that those that had been with us over the last decade, many of them have gone on to go and work for their churches, to be a blessing in their churches, to be a blessing in their local communities. And that's a real privilege and an honour to have been a part of that journey for them as they've then moved on to go and work with their own churches and in their own communities. We've also had a year where we've had some challenges as well. Some of you might know Colin Hinkston. Colin was our financial administrator and had been since he retired over 10 years ago. Colin sadly died back in February, and we've really felt his loss. His loss as Colin, as the person who Colin was, but also for the role that he undertook for us at Wickham Youth for Christ. And so it's been a challenging year as we've been facing all these changes and a sense of loss in many ways for members of the team. But we know God's been in it. We know God is still working in us and through us. And what we're seeing in terms of our ministry to children and young people and to schools particularly is that opportunities are not just still there, the opportunities are growing. God is still bringing new things to us. And it's a wonderful challenge to try and say, okay, God, how do we fit all of these things into a diary? And it's wonderful. I'm going to show you a picture on the screen. There's actually two pictures on the one slide. There's a picture on the left and a picture on the right. The one on the left is from one of our Easter workshops, which we held just over a month ago. And on the right is one of our Christmas workshops earlier on at the end of last year. These workshops are great. And our aim through our Christmas and Easter workshops is to develop relationships and connections between schools and churches whilst sharing about Easter and Christmas with children. So what we do is we partner with local churches, we connect to their local schools, and we invite year groups into the church so that the church can start or develop their relationships with the school, and indeed the children and the schools get to experience and explore both Christmas and Easter. And what's been happening, as well as these, and I'll come back to these in a moment, but over the last 12 months, we've been doing assemblies on a regular basis in 7 schools. It's kept us busy in that. We've been supporting 2 Christian unions as well. And I will say with Christian unions, we've seen a bit of a dip over the last few years with Christian unions, but God is doing something in our secondary schools. God is working in and through our Christian unions, and they are growing. There are more Christian unions now than I've seen in a long time. God is doing something. And I would ask you to pray for our young people that are leading those Christian unions, and that for those that are involved in Christian unions, that God would enable them to be a light in their places of education. Coming back to the workshops, for the Christmas workshops, we led 10 workshops, so 10 primary schools, and partnering with 12 local churches. The Easter ones, we ran 7 workshops, so that's 7 primary schools, and in partnership with 9 local churches. Our mentoring opportunities, they're growing. Just this term alone, we're mentoring 28 children and young people. Some of them are one-to-one groups, one-to-one sessions, some of them are in small groups. But those 28 young people and children and young people, we get to meet them every week. Every week we get time with them. We're exploring emotions, we're exploring managing situations, we're exploring life. We're exploring with some of them that difficult transition from year 6 in primary school to year 7 in secondary schools. That's a really key transition time and can come with a whole range of emotions. And so it's really important to give support to that transition. And so one school have asked us to work with some of their children that need that extra encouragement, that extra support in that move. Alongside that, we're also running school transition workshops and sessions. Some of those will be in primary schools, some of those will be held in a church, and the school will come to the church. And again, it's supporting those children in this transition period, but also for those where we can help hold it in a church, again, continuing to develop those church-school relationships. And like times like this morning, we're still speaking in churches and having the opportunity to just worship and fellowship with God's people in this town. And we're speaking maybe about once a month in churches. So life is really busy and it's exciting and God is doing stuff. And we've got a number of schools that have said, can you please do this? And so we're having to hold one or two opportunities, just intention at the minute, to say, we would love to. We just don't quite have the resources at the moment. And one of the challenges that we've been facing is we've been seeking to recruit people to the team for about the last 9 to 12 months. And in this area of ministry within children's and youth work, it's actually really difficult to recruit at the moment. There are loads of jobs and not enough people. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. But I can tell you, hot off the press, it only happened on Friday, so this is completely new information. We held an interview on Friday, and we have offered, and they have accepted, a job with us. So I have a new member of the team. The picture's going to come up. This is Jenny Hampson. She is going to be starting with the team a week on Monday, and we are absolutely delighted. Both her and us have taken several months to seek God, to pray, to discern whether this is the right thing. We both feel it is. And so we are delighted Jenny's going to be with us. And be a part of sharing the good news of Jesus with children and young people across this area. So please do be praying for Jenny. She's got a week left of her freedom before she starts with us, and she's going to be very busy. Please pray for us as she just gets to grips with everything, and pray as well that as a team, and not just myself and Jenny, but we see the team as being volunteers, supporters, anybody involved in the ministry, those that pray. We're all part of one team. We're all part of God's mission. And I would just really ask that you would continue to pray for our relationships and that we would be united as one for the sake of God and his mission and his glory and his majesty. So please do be praying for us. There's so much more I could say, so many more stories I could share, but I haven't quite got the time in the service this morning, but I will be hanging around afterwards. So if you want to come and chat, if you want to hear some of the stories from our work in schools and in the community, please come and chat. Like I say, I'm a northerner. I'll chat for England. Do come and ask any questions that you've got. But it's exciting. It is exciting. There are news reports at the minute that God is drawing people back to him. There are people going to church that maybe haven't gone before. God is doing something in this country at the moment. And I think we're starting to see that in Wickham with the rise of Christian unions. There's an openness at the moment that God is doing something. And I would ask you to pray for that as well, that God is at work drawing people back to him. And that for Wickham Youth for Christ, I just pray that we are in the places where we can be that pointing direction to God for those who are seeking. It's exciting times. So please, please, please do keep praying. I'm going to pause there because, like I say, I could talk for England and I could share so much more, but we haven't got the time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite both Diana and Pippa. They are going to share our readings for this morning. Both from the New Testament and parables which Jesus told. So Diana's coming first to read from Luke and then Pippa from Matthew.
The first reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And you'll find it on page 1044 in the Bible. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell me my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there will be store my and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God."
And this reading is from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, and you'll find it on page 994. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Going to explore those 2 parables in a moment. Jesus never minced his words. He always spoke directly, and we're going to look at that shortly. But before we do, we are going to sing our next hymn this morning, which is "Go Forth and Tell."
Thank you.
you. Well, as I said, Jesus never minced his words when he spoke to people, spoke to crowds, spoke to individuals one to one. And we've just heard two gospel readings, and they're both parables that Jesus told, which I think complement each other. But before we dig any deeper, I wanted to start by thinking of games that we play. I don't know about you, but my family, we've kind of played two games over the years predominantly. There's a pitch coming up shortly, which is we've played Monopoly and Risk. I don't know if anybody... Yeah? Yeah. Monopoly and Risk have kind of been our go-to games, particularly at Christmas. Risk on many occasions has brought family members to tears, particularly as people have kind of coordinated their approach to claiming land. But the premise of both these games is that sense of gain, either gaining money, gaining property, gaining land, gaining power at the detriment to everyone else. And it's not just board games that have this as an underlying premise and aim. There are TV shows that have been built on these themes as well. And there's another slide coming up that just shows a couple of the TV programmes that are about this hoarding and keeping it to yourself. Shows like Britain's Biggest Hoarders, Sort Your Life Out, and indeed The Apprentice, this sense of wealth and claiming and possessions. And I don't know about you, but I think this sense of possession and hoarding and wealth and what can I gain, what can I have, comes very easily to us. I do recognise I am a little bit of a hoarder. I'm not very good at throwing things away. Indeed, just this last week, I had to do a proper clear out of my wardrobe of clothes that I've not been able to get into and fit into for years, but I've hoarded them because they're there. I am a bit of a hoarder. But in Jesus, in the Bible, Jesus talks a lot about this idea of money and possessions. And about 15% of Jesus's teachings actually relate to money and possessions, and about a quarter of his parables are on the same theme as well, and we've heard two of them this morning. I am going to be predominantly focusing on that Luke 12 parable about the parable of the rich fool, but as I say, I do think the parable of the talents really helps our understanding as we explore this. So in Luke 12 we see that there is a farmer who is hoarding grain. And he's hoarding grain to the extreme that he needs to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns, bigger storehouses, because he hasn't got capacity for all that he has. And he chose to do this so that he could make life easy for himself. That's what Jesus told in the parable. He wasn't thinking about other people. He was just thinking about himself and how he could make life easy. Because he talks in the sense of, they are my barns, my grain, my surplus. He is storing up goods for himself. There is this worldview that he has that it is all about him. There is no recognition in the parable that farmer is giving any consideration to his workers that might have taken the grain in, that might have harvested the crop, or the workers that would have had to have tear down the old barns to build the new barns. It's all about him. That's his focus. That's where he's looking, is to himself. And that is where his thoughts lie. And I know when I've read this parable on a number of occasions over the years, the logical part of me says building bigger barns seems like a really good idea. If you've got more corn and more grain, why not build bigger barns? It kind of makes sense. And so I have wrestled with this over the years, going, is that such a bad thing? And on one hand, there's a logical, pragmatic, practical sense that goes with it. But at the same time, it's practical. It's not practical, but there's a sense that if your worldview is all about you and it's all about making your life easy, your worldview is you. And in that light, it makes logical sense. If it's all about you, it makes sense. There's actually no thought given to anybody else. And there was a commentator, actually I'll come back to that, but there's a commentator that talks about it only makes sense if it is all about you. If you look at it from a different perspective, it actually doesn't make sense. There's a Bible verse from Psalm 24. Hopefully it will come up on the screen. And in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Everything is God's. It's not ours. And there's another one from Matthew 25, verse 14, and it says, from the parable of the talents, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to him." That hopefully might come up in a moment. But you see, what we read from those two passages is that the things that we have, the things around us, are given to us by God and are entrusted to us. And that's not just financial wealth. It's all that we have. Indeed, it's the life, it's the breath that we have, the life that we have is a gift from God. We are stewards of the possessions, of the gifts, of the blessings that God gives us. And we're responsible to him for what we do. And we heard about that in the parables. You see, in the parable of the talents, when the master returns, two of the three servants have recognized the responsibilities that God had given them, the blessings that he had given them, but the responsibility they had to do something with it. But one didn't. In the parable of the rich fool, we see a farmer who failed to recognize that he was accountable to God for what he had. The crop, and I'm not a farmer, but the crop is reliant on the weather for a lot of it. Yes, you can help the soil, you can help fertilize the soil, but if the weather's bad, you're not going to get a crop. Actually, the weather is a gift from God. The crop was a gift from God for that farmer. And it can make sense to think that building bigger barns was the only option, but it wasn't. It wasn't if you take a different perspective. If that farmer had thought outside of himself, had thought about how the gifts that he had been given, the gift of that larger crop, how that could have been used to the glory of God, for the blessings and the blessings to the community around him, there were other possibilities. He could have taken that bumper crop to market. Now, in doing that, yes, the price of the grain, the price of the crop would have fallen. And as a consumer, cheaper food, I think at the minute, doesn't that sound good? It would have been a blessing. Cheaper food would have been a massive blessing to the community. And yes, okay, the following year he would have had to have grown another crop to have sold again. But it meant that he wouldn't be taking life easy. He kept hold of it to make his life easy and not to be a blessing to others. He could have been a massive blessing to the community with the gifts that God had given him. And we see the early church act in a way where they recognize the gifts that God has given them. And then they become a blessing to the community around them. In Acts verse 4, hopefully the passage will come up on the screen. In Acts verse 4, the early church did this. It said, "No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And when I read that, I look at it and go, when we recognise that what we have is a gift from God, when we use it to be a blessing to other people, to the people around us, to the community around us, there are no needy persons. When we do something with the gifts and the blessings that God has given us, we see that God does some powerful stuff through it when we put those blessings to use. And I think as individuals, and I think as individual churches and the church as a whole, one of the questions we need to be continuing to ask God is, what blessings have we been given? Who can we bless? And how can we bless? And as we draw to the end of exploring these passages this morning, I just wanted to give one example of someone who I believe has recognized the gift that God has given them, or the gifts that God has given them, and put it to use, and the impact that that has had. Some of you may know that the ministry of Wickham Youth for Christ is 40 years old this year. It's a wonderful milestone, and glory to God for 40 years of ministry to children and young people. And over the last kind of 5 years, and started during COVID, I've recognised that, and I believe that the ministry of Wickham Youth for Christ is dovetailed in and integrated with the history of the building that we inhabit, which we know as Kingfisher House at the moment. And Michael Wood will certainly know a lot about the building. But I do believe that the two histories and the two ministries are inherently intertwined. And there was as I've done some research, as I've looked at the history of Kingfisher House, there's one man, there's many people that stand out, but there's one man in particular for me that stands out, and that is a guy called Henry Stevens Wheeler. I've got a photo of him that should come up. It's the only photo that I've got, and it comes from a newspaper article, so it's not very good. But I believe that Henry Wheeler gives an example of what it means to recognise, what can I do? What can I do with the blessings that God has given me? What can I do with the life that God has given me? And Henry Wheeler was born in 1844, and he started as a Sunday school teacher at the Bird in Hand Sunday School, which we now know as Kingfisher House on West Wickham Road. And he started there as a Sunday school teacher in 1866 when he was 22 years old. He was a teacher there for 56 years and was indeed superintendent for 50 of those years. He served faithfully sharing the gospel. And his obituary, which is there, which was written in 1934, said that his well-preserved diary shows that twice each Sunday for 50 years he walked to and from the school, a distance of 1.25 miles each way. He thus walked 5 miles each Sunday, or a total of 12,000 miles in half a century, for the purpose of teaching in the Sunday school. It goes on to say, there are many in High Wycombe today, that would have been 1934, that can testify to the value of Mr. Wheeler's work at the Bird in Hand School. Most of the scholars came from poor homes, and often Mr. Wheeler manifested the Christian spirit in a practical way on their behalf. And I still get emotional when I read this testimony, because Henry Wheeler gave of his time, his skills, his energy, and his dedication to walk 12,000 miles in his lifetime for the sake of enabling children and young people to hear and experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe he is a testimony to recognizing the life that he had that was a blessing from God, and that he chose to do something about it and chose to put that to use for the benefit of the community around him. And he will never know the impact that he's had on me 100 years later. But I am so encouraged and so overwhelmed by a life I believe is so well lived and a life that demonstrates what it means to put the blessing of God into action in our lives. I don't know what 12,000 miles looks for you. I'm still trying to work out what 12,000 miles looks for me and what that might mean with the blessings that God has given me, with the blessings that God has given you. But what does that 12,000 miles, what does it mean to put God's blessing in your life to action so that it can be used to God's glory in your life and to the community around you? What does 12,000 miles look like to you in your life, in your context, with the resources, with the blessings that God has given you? I'm challenged by this, and so I should be. And I want us today and over the coming week to just think about, what does it mean for me? How can I use God's blessings in my life? And as we do, I hope that each one of us lives out Matthew 5, verse 14, which says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let us live lives that glorify God, that put his gifts to good use, so that we may bless those around us. I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to ask Debbie to come and lead us in a time of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you in this time of prayer. Quieten our hearts as we share our concerns with you. We pray for our world. Lord, we think of the situation in Ukraine and Russia and ask for your lasting peace. Be with those that try to negotiate peace. Give them wisdom and a persistent heart to keep working to find a real peace so that the people of Ukraine can begin to rebuild their shattered lives and build homes for the people. Lord, we think of the conflict between Gaza and Israel and the plight of the hostages that never asked to be part of this war. For the women, children caught up by the choices of others, give them resilience to keep going when all seems so hopeless. Lord, we know there are other places in the world. Be with the peace negotiators, that real solutions can be found for our hurting world and all those people living in fear, so that they can live alongside each other in harmony. We pray for those Christians all over the world that are not able to worship as freely as we are today. Support all those that work with the persecuted Christians, so that our brothers and sisters do not feel they're forgotten when life is so difficult and challenging. Lord, keep us praying for them. We pray for our government and all those people who govern in local communities that make decisions that affect our daily lives. Give them wisdom and understanding and help them to establish the real problems that need attending to in our community. Dear Lord, we pray for the work of Wycombe Youth for Christ. We've heard more about their work today, and help us in the coming days to keep praying for them. Lord, help Erica in the days ahead. Give her a clear plan of where she needs to be and what she needs to be doing each day. And hold her close to you, that she will know she's loved and special to you in all she does for you. And Lord, in the new changes that are happening so soon, Lord, be with them as a team, build them together for your work. Lord, we pray for the schools that welcome the team in, the young people that they're able to work with. Thank you that these young people have the opportunity to hear your word and that they will know that people care for them in their daily lives. Lord, be with those we know that are not well or are being cared for at this time. Help us to show them that we care and letting them know that we're praying for them in each situation they find themselves in. Be with those waiting for medical procedures. Be with them in their pain and discomfort as they continue to wait. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, let me see you face to face and sense the knowledge of your love as you live in each one of us. Lord, renew our minds and as your will unfolds in our lives so that we can live each day in the power of your love. Lord Jesus, fill us, we pray, with your light that we may reflect your wondrous glory. So fill us with your love, so we may leave your house this morning, filled with your spirit and ready for the week ahead. Amen.
Thank you, Debbie. We're going to sing our closing hymn this morning, which is O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you. Sorry, those words have completely got me this morning. sorry, I never try to cry at the front, but sorry about that. Can I just say, it's been an absolute blessing to be here this morning, even through the tears. I'm going to be around at the end if you want to come and chat, but I really pray that this morning that God has spoken to you and that over the coming days and weeks, he will continue to speak. But I want to finish with a blessing this morning and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in the peace of the Lord and have a wonderful day on this amazing sunny day. Thank you so much.